Welcome to this inspiring message brought to you by Kingsword Media Outreach, a part of Kingsword Ministries International. We hope this teaching inspires you and transforms you into all that God has destined you to be. Please stay tuned for more information about Kingsword Ministries International following this message. May God bless you as you listen.
Welcome to church. Today, I will begin to teach and preach on what I've titled The Simplicity of Greatness, Doing Big Things with God. And all through the month of May, in all of the services on Sundays, first and second service, I'm going to be talking about it. I want your heart to be ready, because this is one of those teachings where God wakes me up to begin to tell me about His mind and His heart. And He's doing that through everything that happens to me throughout the period, throughout the week, throughout my day. He runs me through everything. All the things happening around me is pointing to the big things that God is doing and He wants to do. Hallelujah. Someone said the simplicity of greatness. Greatness is simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's not something you should run away from. It's simple. Doing big things with God. God specializes on doing big things. He's not a small God. He likes to show off. He likes to be out there. He likes to do big things because He's a big God. I found out that greatness is a signature of God, and it's also a signature of Christ, and by extension it should be a signature of every child of God. Every child of God. The goal of this teaching is to bring us to a place where we realize that greatness lives inside of us. There's greatness in every one of us. Whether or not we have discovered it is another topic entirely. But to conclude that there is nothing of greatness inside of you is to deny the very God who created you. Or to conclude that because of certain obvious reality, nothing of significance, nothing of value, nothing of worth can come out of your life. It is to deny the God who created you. John chapter 12. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to my Father." So Jesus has established the fact that if you believe in me, you will do great things. But not only will you do great things, you will do greater things. And the criteria is if you believe in me. If you believe in me. So if we say that we are believers, then we've signed up for great works. We've signed up for great things. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. So if it's only the works that Jesus did that you are doing, then you are signing up for great works. But Jesus is saying that not only will you do the works that I do, but you will do greater than I have done. So it means you and I are a better candidate for greater works. In our time, in our dispensation, we're a better candidate of greater works. It says, because I'm going to my Father. Let me read it in Message translation for you. Same John 14. It says, believe me, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you cannot believe that, believe what you see, these works. It says, I'm in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you cannot believe that, believe what you see, these works. So Jesus is saying that, look, I'm in God, and God is in me. That's spiritual. If you're finding it hard to believe the spirituality, if you're finding it hard to believe the essence of the dimensions of heavens and the spiritual entity and everything of me being in God and God being in me, if you're finding it hard to believe that, there's something I'm doing. It's the works. Believe it. The works that you see. So when Jesus made the statement that you will do the works that I've done and you will do greater, he's saying that there are certain people around you, within you, in your sphere of influence, that will never believe the spirituality of heaven. But the works that you do, they will believe it. He said, that's why you have to do greater things. That's why you have to do things that are dumbfounding. That's why you have to do things that will make people turn and say, where is your God? Who do you serve? Where do you worship? There's something about you. He said your essence of life needs to be questioned by people. Even if they don't believe your God, the works that you do, they must believe. And people don't believe small things. People don't question small things. They question great works. They question things that seem impossible. Great works, great things. You see, I mean, my Father is in me. You can't see that one. But believe what you see, these works. There are certain people that are around you that will never know Jesus by how much you pray. They will never know Jesus by how much you fast. They will never know Jesus by how much you come to church and you invite them for church service. They will never know Jesus. The only way they will come to know Jesus is when the works you do are great. When the works you do are great. When every day the governor is calling you, asking you for counsel and advice, and they are trying to reach you, your friends, and they are... Oh boy, where are you? So I quickly went to see the governor. He said, which governor? Is it Lagos or Abuja? Or which one? He said, oh, no, I told the one in Abuja to wait because the one in Kaduna gave appointment first. And they're wondering, what is it that you do actually? Those people don't want to know your Jesus. They're not interested. You can't go to them and tell them, thus says the Lord, according to the book of John. No, no, they won't listen to you. But when the works you do are great works, he said, believe. Say, I'm in my Father, and my Father is in me. Jesus realized that it's possible for them not to believe that. So he said, if you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. Then he says, the person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but even greater things, because I am on my way to my Father. He said, I'm giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. So you see, as a child of God, you can't escape what Jesus did. And you also cannot escape what he's giving you to do. So greatness is inside your DNA. Somewhere inside. He said, I'm giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. He said, you can count on it. You can count on it. You know, we quote the scripture, whatever I ask will be given. This is the genesis of it. Listen, it says, from now on, this is the message translation. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I will do it. Can you see the difference? So he's not just saying, God, let me do big things. Let me do big things. No. He said, whatever you request along the line of what I am doing. And I'm doing big things. That's what Jesus is saying. So let your request be tailored along the lines of what I am doing. He said, that request, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. So the first question is, Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing in this time, in this dispensation, in this generation? What are you doing now? So that I can align myself along the lines of what you are doing, such that when I make my request is tending towards greatness of what you are doing. And he says, I will do it. I will answer any request. I will answer any request. He said, that's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do it. For me, this is the key to some of the things that a lot of people have been asking God. God is telling you that perhaps that goal is too small compared to where I am. Perhaps the goal and the dream is just too small compared to what I want for you. Perhaps it's just too small compared to what I am doing now. And so God is saying, you know what? Can we hold on that your small idea now? Because I want to settle a big thing. Somebody is asking me for a big thing that I'm doing. So this is what I'm doing. And this other person is asking me for this. So I'd rather sort that one out. Then from this change, it will say to you. It will say to you. Because when Jesus, who is doing big things, gets his partners and they are doing big things, the one who is asking for small things will only receive after those who are asking for big things have been settled. And then what you get is the change, the remaining. It could still be a testimony, but it's change. It says, greater works than these shall you do also. God is not anti-greatness. He's also not a God that avoids greatness. He doesn't avoid it. If you truly have to make an impact on the world and the society, you must be ready to do big things. Big things. And when we talk about big things, we're not really talking about the size of it in that sense. No. The physical size. It's the dimension of it. It's the audacity of it. It's the reach of it. Yours may not be big in size, but is it audacious compared to where you are? Or you've just settled for the status quo? Yours may not be big in size, but is it daring enough compared to where you are? Or you just settled for the status quo?
Let me just take what is there. Is it stretching you enough? Your own may not be big in size, but answer the question. I mean, is it stretching you? Is it a reach? Is it a global reach? Or it's just limiting? And you're telling yourself, how do they say that slang? Atolato na in bad pass. Both atolato and remnant, they are the same thing. So when we talk about big things, when we talk about greatness, we're not really looking at size. What's the reach? What's the global expression? Are you limited in any way by how you stretch? If the dreams and the visions in your heart cannot wake you up at 1 a.m., not to even pray. Prayer is one. But to sit down with pen and paper and you are thinking, how shall these things be? What's the calculation? How can I get this done? How can I? Because you're realizing that there is greatness inside of you and it has to come out. It has to. When challenges come your way and things hit you such that it looks like it's impossible, that's when you begin to draw from that greatness inside. There is a quote I saw. It was Nelson Mandela made that quote, and there's another lady like that. I can't remember her name now. It says, your playing small does not serve the world. It doesn't serve the world. It doesn't. See, there is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure around you. There is nothing enlightening about it. I don't want people to think that I have arrived. It's their business if they think you've arrived. Have you arrived? You are the one that know you've not arrived. So if they think that you have arrived, they are low. I don't want people to think that I've arrived. So there's nothing enlightened about shrinking. So we are all meant to shine. All of us. Tell the person beside you are meant to shine. It's not just in some of us. It's in all of us, every one of us, not just in some of us. It says, as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. When your light begins to shine, other people around you, you've unconsciously given them permission to let their light shine. So you see now that your light not shining is dimming the light of others. It's not being humble. That's humility. If there's anything like that. No. Your humility is to accept the light that you are and let it shine without apology. You're not doing anybody a favor by trying to, let's not show ourselves. Error. Let's not show ourselves. The moment we are liberated from our fears, what happens? It gives other people the energy and strength to be liberated from their own fear. But we have to show it. And that evidence that your light is shining in the world is that they will see the good works that you're doing. They'll see it. They'll see it. They'll see it. A lot of times you talk to people and you think it's humility trying to say, you know, we just want to be quiet about it. Let me show you something. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. From verse 3. Listen to this very carefully. John 7 verse 3. This is the Message translation. It said, his brothers said, why don't you live here and go up to the feast so your disciples can get a good look at the works you do? It says, no one who intends to be publicly known does everything behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. He said, if you are serious about what you are doing, come out in the open and show it to the world. Ka shata ekabaya. He said, I'm good at this, I'm good at that. Who knows you? In that industry, they mention 4 or 5 people. Will they mention your name? He said, if you are serious about what you are doing, come out to the world and show it to the open. Let's see you. Come out to the playing field. Let's test the waters. Meet your competitors. Meet those who are doing the same thing that you're doing. Let's see. If you are serious about what you're doing. So it means that when you're not serious, you stay behind the scene. And you disguise under the fact that we don't want to show. And we begin to say things like, when I blow, you will never blow. Say, when I come out, when I show, when I land, when I bring my product, when I bring my idea. People have brought theirs out since. You are still trying to bring yours. If you are serious about what you are doing, come out in the open. Come out. They challenge Jesus. You say you are a man of greatness. You do great things. Okay, bring it out to the open. Let's see what you're doing. Let's see what you're doing. Say his brothers were pushing him like this because they didn't believe in him either. Come on. This is the Son of God. You carry the anointing. We don't believe you. You say you're anointed. Come out in the open. Display that anointing. Display that greatness. Let the world see. That's what Jesus was saying before. He said, believe me. I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Say, please, stop that rubbish. If you are serious about what you are saying, come outside. You know those days when they are bragging, two people are bragging. You, I will beat you. I'll blow you. And then say, oh yeah, let's go outside. That's where serious business happens. Not the bragging and talking. And then you see another person say, oh boy, I mean, I leave that in. If you're not serious, making a go outside. It's not only screaming and shouting, we outside, we outside. We outside for real. Let us be outside for real. For real. So if you're serious about the business, if you're serious about the dream, if you're serious about the goal, bring it outside. Let the public see it. Let the world see it. Display it to the world. If you are certain that greatness is inside of you and something is crying out for expression, bring it out of the world. When are you going to start that business? When I calculate. And you keep calculating and calculating and calculating. Others have gone outside. They've tested the waters. They've tried different things. But you are still calculating. You're not serious about it. You're not serious about it. One of my clients who I'm coaching on I call the thing now. She's an executive assistant. So she's finding it hard to move her idea and her business forward. So I started a 3 months coaching session with her. I realized that ideas are ideas. They are in people's head. But when you meet a coach, you will realize that you've not started anything. Our first sessions,
the first three sessions or so, she said to me, I just realized that I've not been doing anything. All the while, she thought she was doing something. After I drilled her, she knew something had hit her. There's certain things people will never believe of you. Never. And don't try to convince people to believe you. No. If they can't see that you and the Father are one, leave them alone. That's not what they are supposed to see. Not everybody will see your spirituality. There are some people who what they want to see is the product of your spirituality. In ideas, in services, in delivery, in nation building, in taking territories. That's what they want to see. And once they see it, anywhere you tell them God is, wherever you tell them God is, they'll follow. They'll follow. That's the evidence of your light shining. That's the evidence. And Jesus told them, he said, look, my time has not come. This is not my time. Jesus was not shying away from the greatness. No. He told them, look, I'm up to the task, but I understand time and season. So even if you are saying that, okay, I'm like Jesus too, my time has not come. Let me show you where Jesus' time came. His time came. And he didn't shy away. It was not an everlasting idea. Was not an everlasting project. No. He knew when his time come, he would step out into the greatness. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. There is a fullness of time that must come for your greatness to find expression. It's not an everlasting greatness. No. It's not only inherent or potential. You know, there are certain people who are good with potential. Everybody that sees you, this guy has potential. This guy has potential. When people tell you have potential, tell them please, you should stop. Potential does not change the world. Don't feel, they say I have potential. I have potential. I have potential. So you be carrying it potential, 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 potential. What is the energy of motion? How did they call it in physics? I can't remember now. Potential energy. Does it do anything? It just put there. It just stays there. But the energy that does something is what? Kinetic. So that potential needs to move from there to kinetic. To the works, to the doing, to the actual movement of things. Shaking things in your environment, shaking things in your industry. If your goal, whatever you are doing, if your goal at the end of the day, say if they mention 10 people in this industry, they must mention me. They must mention me. They must mention me. That should be your driving force. You guys like what I'm wearing? JJ Collections. I'm drilling him because I want him to be 10, top 10 in this industry. Top 10. When I see stuff, I send it to him. What do you think about this? Say, go and check out this person, check out that person. If you are not top 10, top 5, what are you doing with all the Holy Ghost that you carry? I can understand your position now. But in 5 years, in 10 years, come on. No, come on, come on, come on. Not at all. After service now, we'll call him and say, this is the correction. This is the excellence. This is what you need to do. Your works must show. It must show. If you are serious about what you are doing, he says what? Come outside. Come outside. So ask your neighbor, are you outside? Are you outside?
That's your business. That's your product. Not we outside, we outside, we're shouting. This is real outside. Are you outside? Are you doing things with people that matter? I say, Pastor, there's nobody to connect me. I don't have connect. Go and look for connect. Juliet goes to play golf. You think it's just golf she's going to play? Just guy, we are playing golf. We're outside playing golf. Connect. Connect. Because there are certain people you will never meet in certain places. For some time, some Sundays, after service, she's rushing. Where are you going? I'm going to play golf. What's in this golf team? Is connect. Because those people, they don't go to church. But she will come to church, receive anointing, then go and connect outside. 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 They don't understand your Jesus. They don't understand John 3:16. But the works that you do, they understand it. The greatness that is upon you, that works, that's what they want to see. Say, if you are serious about this thing you are doing, let's meet outside. Let's meet outside. Okay, let's even come down to it. Who knows you on social media about the business and the thing that you do? Who knows you? Who can just identify with you right now? Look, there's a generation of people right now, anything they want to do, they first check on Google. Who is doing this? Who is doing that? Who is doing this? Who is doing that? They begin to ask Google question. And if you don't have any digital footprint, I'm sorry, who are you reaching? Who are you talking to? Who will find you? How will they, if they want to look for you, how will they find you? You think everybody hears mene, mene, pete, pete, pete? They don't hear those things. But you're not visible in that space. So how will they find you? How? How did God speak to me about this location where we are? It was through Google. I was in NTA Road when I came to Port Harcourt. After I stayed there, pastoring a church for my general overseer, one of his sons, for about 3 months. And then he said, Pastor Joe, you need to go. You need to leave that place and go far away so that the members don't follow you and all that. I said, yes, sir. He said, look for somewhere very far. So I went on Google and I was asking, what are the places in Port Harcourt? I didn't know anywhere. I saw rumor this, rumor that, rumor this. So many, plenty of rumors. And then I just saw down last part, Woji. And it just felt good to me and the Holy Ghost. Then I didn't even know Kola was staying around. There's some other people too. I didn't even know they were around. I didn't know Pastor Tayo was around here. I didn't know any of those things. But it just felt good to me and the Holy Ghost. And when I called someone who had stayed in Port Harcourt, who's a pastor friend, I asked him, where can I stay in Port Harcourt? He said, okay, there's GRA, there's this. He never mentioned Woji. Never. I was the one who asked him. I said, what about Woji? He said, oh yes, my sister stayed there. I said, is that not the first place you're supposed to tell me? And then it felt good to me and the Holy Ghost. When people search you out on social media, it's supposed to feel good with them and the Holy Ghost. They did not know you before, but they just checked you out. Say, let's try. No digital footprint. Nothing. Nothing. Your works must show. It's not everything that people are doing. I mean, when you put on your phone, right? Whatever kind of phone, it plays a sound, right? Do you know that sound is patented? You know somebody came up with that sound. Somebody came up with a sound. The iPhone ringtone is patented. It's music. But if all you do is that, okay, let me look for the biggest church that will be paying me keyboard. You are short-sighted. What are you saying? With your instrument, you can come up with a sound that companies will be paying for life advert. They use your sound. You get patent for it. It's here we sing songs. We sing songs and nobody comes to stand there and says copyright. Go and try it abroad. Every song they sing, they pay copyright. You cannot just sing a song just like I say you are singing a song. Singing his song. We come in and we sing his song. By the time they slam you, lawsuit. Lawsuit. There is something called copyright of those songs that you can't even sing it in your church and not pay. What are you talking about? No, you can't. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 12. It says, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. See, I was king over Israel in Jerusalem. But I was not limited to that domain. My heart searched out all. I was not limited by wisdom concerning all things that were done under heaven. I did not die a local champion. Though I was in one place, but my heart was everywhere. Though I was in one place, my business was everywhere. Though I was in one place, my ideas were everywhere. I was looking for ways to stretch myself and reach out to a global audience from one location. My location does not matter. It doesn't matter. Because there's greatness inside of me. Greatness is simple. We are the ones that complicate it. And every day, God is looking for ways to bring out that greatness in you. There are subtle things, little things that we don't take notice of. Little things. We just let them slide off. And we don't think that they are important. No, we don't think that they are important. If you have to do anything with God, no one believe that has to be a big thing. And your heart has to be ready for it. No small playing. No. Enough of that. Where has it gotten you? No small playing. Ask tangible, relevant questions. Who are the major players in my society, in my industry, in my business? What are they doing? How are they doing what they are doing? How can I be a part of it? How can I learn from them? How can I understudy them? How can I? Or you're just contented with the fact that the people that buy and patronize your products are your family members and people in church? Come on, come on, come on. We can do better than that. The world is global. There are many things inside of you that can come out. Take time and energy to bring it out. Enough of potential. Stand to your feet, church. If we say that we serve a living God and we serve a big God, then we should let Him be big. Let Him be big. It's not ambition. No. No. It's not ambition. It's not ambition. If you are doing things with God, and you truly believe that it's God you're working with, you will do big things, not small things. Your mind will be set on big things, set on great things, not small things. And when it becomes your driving force every day, every night, there will be no choice than for that greatness to come out of you. Lift your hands to heaven. I'll continue in the second service. And we have this month to deal with it. I'm ready for you guys. I'm ready, fully ready, equipped. That greatness that you're running from must come out. Must come out. The things that you are hiding and telling yourself that, oh, I'm not ready. You are more than ready. The people that are not even ready are cashing out. But you, God has made you ready, but you are telling yourself you are not ready. You are not ready. What are you afraid of? What is it that you are afraid of? Everything we've ever done, we've done afraid. I've preached afraid. I started this church afraid. When we had our first service here, we started with two services. First day we started church, two services. We started it afraid. We all came here, myself, Kola, Pastor Tayo. We all came here afraid. Mr. Motosho, he came afraid. He brought Juliet. He said, in case people did not come, let Juliet follow him. We all came afraid. And Juliet came the first day and never went back. Glory to God. Lift your hands to heaven.
The preceding message was brought to you by Kingsword Ministries International. For information about Kingsword Ministries, visit us at kingsword.org. For information and additional resources. Thank you for listening to this message. And remember, where the word of a king is, there's power.